Yeah, it's just about 9 o'clock at 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. Or for the next hour of programming, the opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. It's time now for Talking Animals on KUCI.
Find some new energy. streets with flags unfurled like treasure. Thank me for my words. It's a pleasure. Just don't ask me to stay, 'cause I'll be gone. But it's alright, I'm okay. Always. Everybody needs to know it's the year of the rat. Every day we've got to hold on. 'Cause if we hold on, we could find some.
That's new music from Badly Drawn Boy with a song called Year of the Rat as we slide into today's edition of Talking Animals on 80.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org, and the whole enterprise, the whole shebang, the whole enchilada, the whole nine yards is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that's devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI, and I absolutely urge you to use that number and call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy. I'm telling you, we love to get calls here at Talking Animals. You can also instant message us via AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is Talking Animals. Other less immediate ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com. And checking out our fab website, it's talkinganimals.net. Again, that's .net, folks. Also, before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another stimulating session of the Serena Sharp Show and for covering this time slot in our absence this week. Last week, not this week. I'm covering the slot this week. All right, so anyways, thanks to her. And while we're issuing thank yous, I want to say a big thanks to Erin Aylworth for her wonderful piece on Talking Animals in today's L.A. Times. Much appreciated. Very cool. So, meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, and assorted other sources. We're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. We aim for a reasonable balance of those elements, as you can readily glean by visiting that aforementioned cool website at talkinganimals.net, where just about every show we've ever broadcast is archived. So, that's cool, and I think we're really nicely caught up, and there's synopses and the whole shebang. So, again, it's talkinganimals.net. But clearly the heart of the program is the interview we conduct each week with some notable inhabitant of some province of the animal world. Today our guest is Carol Buckley, the co-founder and executive director of the Elephant Sanctuary, located about 80 miles from Nashville, Tennessee. It's a sprawling facility of more than 2,700 acres designed specifically for old, sick, or needy elephants who've been retired from zoos and circuses and worse. So we'll find out all about the sanctuary, including its state-of-the-art barn facilities, various ways that elephants arrive there, and the very current efforts to rescue 16 circus elephants recently ordered relinquished by the USDA, when Carol Buckley joined us in a few minutes here on Talking Animals. And before we go too much further, we also want to welcome our guest intern, Paul Lindhurst. Is that how you pronounce it?
That's correct.
Welcome, Paul. He's
thank you.
He's training here to get a show at KUCI as well. So we're going to involve you in the news a little bit, Paul. Any comments you have as we go, that'll be great. But anyway, it is indeed time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news. I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topic you'd care to discuss, announcements, observations, and anything else that you might have spotted that we should be discussing here on Talking Animals. They all will be most welcome. The number again, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So turning now to interesting or important developments recently in animal news. Typically these are local, regional, national, or sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight and with any luck to get your comments on and discuss. We'll also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. Having said that, okay, let's talk turkey, as it were.
Oh, it is on.
So, produced as always by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department, here we go. Grab this from Friday's LA Times. Headline, sport fishing blamed in depletion of ocean species. It starts off, sports fishermen have a much larger role in depleting ocean fish than previously thought, catching nearly a quarter of the overfished species in U.S. coastal waters and about 59% of severely depleted rockfish off the Pacific coast, a new study shows. The study, which scrutinized 22 years of fishing statistics for the journal Science, shines the spotlight on recreational fishermen who've long blamed commercial fishermen for the severe decline in the ocean fish population off America's shores. To help stocks recover, the authors say sport fishing will have to face more severe restrictions. The government, they say, may have to limit the number of people who are allowed to fish for sport in the ocean, just as it restricts commercial fishermen at sea and recreational hunters on land. Quote, all we're saying is that recreational fishing can no longer be ignored, said Felicia C. Coleman, the study's lead author and marine ecologist at Florida State University. At first, the restrictions are going to be awfully painful, but recreational fishing is extremely important, a huge industry, and we would like to see it sustained. So it goes on from there. You can certainly find it online or similar stories, but pretty significant. Paul, any comments on that finding or the need to curtail some of the sport fishing?
No comments at this moment.
All right. Well, you know where to reach us. We're 2 inches away. So, okay, let's move on to the next story. This is sort of a rough one, to say the least. Overheated room, it's the headline reads, blamed in death of seven monkeys at UC Davis. The UC Davis Medical Research Building was shut down this week after six research monkeys died of dehydration due to a heating malfunction in the room over the weekend, campus officials said. A seventh was later euthanized. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, which oversees inspection of animal research centers, has begun an investigation. Will make an unannounced visit to the California National Primate Research Center soon, said USDA spokesman Larry Hawkins. The monkeys had been housed in an overflow building 4 miles from the main research center, said Center Director Dallas Hyde. The building, a five-room cinder block structure with no windows and one door, will no longer be used to house animal types, said. Well, we just felt we can't ever allow this to happen again, Hyde said. We will not be using the facility ever again. We really do care deeply for the animals. And quote, two lab technicians from the research center were doing a routine check at 8:30 a.m. Saturday when they opened the door to the holding room and they were hit with a blast of hot air. The temperature was 115 degrees, said UC Davis Andy Fell. And it goes on from there, but boy, as my alma mater, I mean, they've turned out some really cool veterinarians, but some of the research and some of these things are just yikes. That's all I can say, I think, Paul. Yikes.
Well, I think we need more checks and balances.
Absolutely. All right. So moving on to one that was sent to us by one of our listeners, which, again, you can do by way of emailing us at AOL, at AOL.com. This was from the Canadian Press wire service, I believe, and it's from Nova Scotia. Nova Scotia power officials continue to keep the sluice gates open at one of the utilities hydroelectric plants Wednesday in hopes of a wayward whale would leave the area and head for the open waters of the Bay of Fundy. The 6-meter-long juvenile humpback swam through the gates that separate the bay from the Annapolis River on Monday, prompting officials to shut down the Annapolis tidal power plant. Tanya Wimmer, a biologist at the Marine Animal Response Society, said the whale likely followed a school of fish and is feeding in the mouth of the river, an area that utility refers to as the head pond. Well, whales follow the natural food chain, so if the fish stay, you've got a bit of an issue, said Wimmer. The young male has not been seen since late Tuesday, but there are unconfirmed reports the whale had moved further upstream. Under bright sunshine, about 30 people were watching for the mammal Wednesday on the side of the road, some of them carrying binoculars. Hundreds had gathered the day before as news spread of the unusual sighting. Officials had hoped the whale would leave the way it came in when the tide dropped late Tuesday, but that didn't happen. Wimmer said there's little that can be done if the whale doesn't leave on its own. Well, you can't catch a whale that size, so it'll be a matter of convincing it to turn around and go in the other direction, she said. A spokesman for the Federal Fisheries Department said the whale didn't appear to be in any immediate danger, and there's plenty of room for it to swim and feed. Still, officials asked boaters to stay away from the area because engine noises could spook the creature. The power company has said it has no plans to prevent whales from entering the head pond because it's such a rare event. The first whale to enter the area 10 years ago eventually left without a scrape after a few hours. So we'll keep an eye on that story as well. And closer to home, although in Las Vegas, video of tiger attack on magician to stay private. This is from Associated Press. The company that produced the Siegfried and Roy magic show said Wednesday that it would not give federal investigators the video of a tiger attack on illusionist Roy Horn to protect the performer's privacy. Feld Entertainment, Inc. also said it offered on several occasions to show video footage of the October 3rd attack, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, but the agency had not accepted the invitation. Quote, Feld Entertainment is cooperating with the USDA and will continue to provide the agency with the necessary information to complete its pending investigation while also protecting Roy Horn and his family's privacy, the Vienna, Virginia-based company said in a statement. Agriculture Department spokesman Jim Rogers said the probe into the tiger attack remained open and confirmed that the show was under investigation for possible violations of the Animal Welfare Act. The act authorizes the USDA to take action against violators and impose fines and suspend or revoke licenses. And it goes on to say that further reason for Feld's decision is that it believed, quote, the footage of Roy Horn's accident would quickly end up in the hands of media, who would then sensationalize this horrible tragedy. The company also said the magicians wanted to avoid images of this tragic accident being accessible to children and families all around the world. I note, without further comment, that the show, of course, based on the Siegfried and Roy life and the things happening at the Mirage Center, Father of the Pride, premieres on NBC Tuesday night. I note that with no further comment, as I said. So, Paul, do you have a comment?
Oh, I just wanted to ask you, did you watch that program on the polar bears last night on PBS?
I did not. Was it good?
No, it was a very good movie, or a very good show.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, like you talked about the whale just recently, is the global warming.
Yeah.
We're going to probably see more and more of that, and that's one of the problems they're having there in St. Charles there in Alaska.
And it's really affecting the polar bears, right?
They have to carry more and more of those polar bears, tranquilize them, carry more and more of them further
away
out,
from that.
Away from
yeah.
their settlement, and every spring they come back in.
Yeah.
They just don't have the seasonal length to go out there and hunt for food as they used to.
Sure. Well, gosh, I'm sorry I missed that. That's kind of hope I can track down and catch again. So what was the name of the show? Do you remember, Paul, the actual program?
No, I sort of walked in probably...
partway through.
Well, I watched most of it, but okay. I missed, I would say, probably a good one quarter of it.
So. Okay. All right, well, we'll hunt it down somehow, I'm sure. Continuing now with a couple more news items, and then we're going to step into the comedy corner and then welcome our guest, Carol Buckley. So far more locally, right here in Costa Mesa, in fact, I want to mention that the Doggy Show 2004 is coming up at the Costa Mesa Bark Park. The date is September 25th, and it's from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., and there's all kinds of cool things going on with dogs, and, if your dog is talented, it says, or has a bad hair day, or has a sense of humor, pride in your best friend, or lazy, or plays dumb, or just plain cute, they're all welcome. And there's going to be snacks and beverages and a bunch of dogs, obviously. So, and there'll be prizes, which are to be announced. And there's pet trainer Andrew Ledford is the guest and head judge. And there'll be a little demonstration by the Santa Ana Police Department canine unit. So you can find out more by visiting Windy, www.windysign.net/anyevent/september.html. You can call us or email us or IMS for more details on that, or if you want to review the website address. But that's, again, coming up on September 25th. And we got to keep going here, Paul. Sorry. Anyways, because we want to get in our mid-news, or maybe at this point, end-of-news quiz question. So, this is true-false, and we have a prize. We have a pretty cool slew of prizes for the person who calls in and guesses correctly. There's we've got T-shirts, we've got CDs, we've got cat toys, dog collars, we've got... books, including Shirley MacLaine's book, which we include not because she was a guest just yet on the show, but maybe she will be, but because her dog co-wrote the book. And we've got all kinds of other books and CDs from previous guests on Talking Animals, and Cat Dancer, and Meatless Meals for Working People, all kinds of cool things to choose from. So if you're the first person to call in with the correct answer to this true-false question, you will have your choice of those prizes. The number here, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So, here's the question. True or false? The hippo is the second heaviest land animal. True or false? 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So, I think we're going to probably have to end our news segment on the quiz question. If we have more time, we'll come back to some of the items we had prepared. And we'll just see how the rest of the show goes. But anyways, for the moment at least, that's going to conclude the Animal News segment for today. Of course, if there are ever any news stories or announcements of events you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us those items at talkinganimals@AOL.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, and any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email again is talkinganimals@AOL.com. And I'm pleased to remind you, perhaps redundantly, looks like we have a call. Let's see if it's somebody guessing the correct answer. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI.
Yeah, I was calling in response to the question on the Animal Talk Show.
Okay, cool. Well, do you know what the answer is?
I would say true.
You're absolutely right.
Hey, great.
That is true. And what is your name?
Betsy.
Betsy? Okay, I'll tell you what, Betsy, why don't we do this just so we don't run too far behind. If you could email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com.
Talkinganimals@AOL.com?
That's right.
Okay.
And then we will work out which of the prizes you would like and how I can get that to you. And I appreciate you calling in and winning. Congrats on winning the quiz question.
Thank you. And let your individual know, this is the very first time I've ever listened to it. I just happened to it on the Internet, and I'm listening it through the computer, and it's great.
Oh, great. Where are you located then?
I'm in Huntington Beach.
Oh, okay, great. Cool.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right,
we need more programs like this one.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye now. All right, so there you go. See how easy it is? You can win a prize just that easily, Paul. That's great. So, anyway, I also want to remind you, speaking of that, and Betsy hearing the show through the Internet, that our own website is at talkinganimals.net. Again, that's .net. And please visit the site if you haven't already. Sign up for the email list so we can keep you posted on upcoming guests and other announcements. You'll also find archives and synopses of all the shows, assorted photographs and articles, all kinds of links, other audio pieces and more. So please stop by and take a look around the site again. It's talkinganimals.net. It's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, and which, of course, always involves animal-oriented comedy. This guy is one of our faves here on Talking Animals. It's Brian Regan, with a piece called Flipper and Gentle Ben on today's Comedy Corner here on KUCI.
I watched a lot of Flipper growing up. Flipper, he was something. Always saving people. Every show he'd go save some more. I save some people! For that, they would throw him a dead fish. Hey, thanks! Thanks for saving people. He was always doing that backwards dance, three quarters out of the water. Man, that was cool. Imagine if you could do that? That impressing people at the public pool, you know? Just go, hey, how y'all doing? just skip across the top of the pool without getting your bathing suit wet and hop up on the other side. Hey, what's happening? And just grab a little towel, wipe off your feet. Yeah, it's a little colder than I thought. Wow, who's that guy? I thought, to be fair, they should have also had a bad dolphin, you know? Zipper! Big scar across his head. I'm moving safety buoys around. Deal with that, Flipper! Out chewing tobacco. Ah, Zipper surly. He is uncaring. How about that show, Gentle Ben? Remember that show? About a big friendly bear. There's a good thing to teach kids. Hey, bears are friendly. Go up and let them give you a big hug. Put some honey on your face. Let them lick it off. Bears love kids with honey on their heads. They love honeyhead kids. Hey, Gentle Ben, where's Bobby? Bobby. Ben's wearing Bobby's hat. I don't know where he is. Picking his teeth. I think he scampered off that way. He was scampering.
All right, that's Brian Regan with a little piece called Flipper and Gentle Ben, and taken from his album, simply entitled Live. The Comedy Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you're indeed listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM. Broadcasting, of course, from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the internet at KUCI.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening that very way. And some of you perhaps arrive there through our swell website, talkinganimals.net. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. And while we get today's guest, Carol Buckley, on the phone with us, this is as good a time as any to hear an animal tune. This is Adrian Legg with Chicken Little's Last Ride here on Talking Animals, KUCI. Thank you. right, well, it's a first here, Doc Animals. Of course, only in the wake of a nice favorite story, but we can't seem to get our guest on the phone. So we're going to try a couple more things. And in the meantime, hope you'll enjoy this nice instrumental. And no doubt, with any luck, we'll be back momentarily with Carol Buckley. We're on the Elephant Sanctuary here. Talk Animals in KUCI. Don't go away. It's good news. We have Carol. All right? She's here. She was here all along. Well, not really. But anyway, so earlier in the show, I mentioned this week's guest is Carol Buckley, the co-founder and director, or executive director, I should say, of the Elephant Sanctuary, located about 80 miles from Nashville, Tennessee, a sprawling facility of more than 2,700 acres designed specifically for old, sick, or needy elephants who've been retired from zoos and circuses and other even less glamorous lives than that. So there's much to discuss and learn about the sanctuary, from its state-of-the-art barn facilities to a possible rather sudden influx of another 15, 16 former circus elephants. So let's remind you of the phone number to join us, 949-824-5824, as we welcome Carol Buckley to Talking Animals. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks so much for joining us here on Talking Animals.
My pleasure.
And before we get into the history and details of the Elephant Sanctuary, I think we'd probably be well advised to get into some history and details of Carol Buckley. So, obviously, elephants figure prominently in your life and have for many, many years. Can you sort of just take us back to the beginning of your involvement with at least elephants, if not animals overall?
Well, like many of us, I was interested in animals from a very young age, but my interest in elephants developed when I was in my first year of college. I was studying exotic animal management at a college, Moorpark College in Southern California, and while attending that school, I met a baby elephant that was actually a promotional gimmick at a local tire stores. So she wasn't affiliated with the school, but she was in, you know, conveniently enough for me, the same town. And that was in Simi Valley. So that was my first introduction to elephants. She was a wild-caught elephant. She was less than a year old, on exhibit in the back of a truck. She was taken around to different tire stores throughout Southern California and just used as a gimmick to attract customers.
Oh, my God. So not that it really matters now, but what was the supposed connection between this elephant and tires?
There's no connection, only that elephants are such an attractive species, people want to see them. And, and it was quite interesting to note that people would be driving down the main street, see this little elephant in the back of the truck, pull over with their four kids, you know, see the elephant, and then realize, you know what, they needed a set of tires.
I see. All right. Well,
yeah, sadly enough, it worked.
All right. Well, that's some shaky logic, but if it worked, I guess that's, for that moment, I guess good. But thank God that the elephant moved on with you, apparently, and left the tire promotion business behind.
Yeah, it was lucky for both of us, because what that created was an opportunity for me to learn about elephants. And, of course, the motivation was this little elephant. Her name was Fluffy. And I knew, prior to meeting her, I knew absolutely nothing about elephants. But then, of course, as soon as I made contact with her and, you know, I saw there was a need, I wasn't even sure what it was, and so I began to study about elephants and learn so much, and immediately learned that you know, anyone with common sense would look at the way she was living and say, well, this can't be right. But I needed to know, well, what wasn't right about it? And obviously there was nothing right about it. She was living alone. You know, this is a social animal. She was a baby. She should have still been with her mother. She was getting no exercise, living in the back of a truck. At the time that I met her, she was still on a formula that was deficient in nutrients, and so she was actually anemic when I first met her. And so she was on not on a proper diet, and, you know, just basically her life was as unnatural as it could possibly be. So within I volunteered my time right away, and within about a year and a half, I actually convinced her owner to sell her to me. And the reason that I purchased this Fluffy was not because I wanted an elephant. It really was that I wanted to take care of her, and I felt the way that she was living ultimately would be her demise. And I remember telling her owner, if it keeps going this way and you own her and raise her the way that you are, she's going to end up killing someone, which is going to ruin her life. And because of that, I felt that, you know, I needed to get her out of that environment, and the only way to do that was to purchase her. So I did. I changed her name to Tara. And we've been together for 30 years now, all of her life, and she's been a blessing to mine, and she's the inspiration for the sanctuary.
Sure. Well, of course, I want to get really you know, into the sanctuary, but just for another moment or two, maybe we could also kind of just trace your path from there into some of the circus years and some of the other things you did, you know, along the way to then creating the sanctuary.
Sure. Well, my focus at the time that I met this elephant, who I named Tara, my focus was animal training. I thought it was astonishing that I could communicate to an animal, they would understand it, and then they would choose to respond. And the training that I was familiar with from the time I was quite young was much like dog training, a lot of positive reinforcement, develop a relationship with the animal, and because of that relationship, really, the animal wants to be with you and do those things that you want them to do, no matter how silly some of them are. And so that was my background, and that's what I utilized when I started working with Tara. And she responded so incredibly well, and she was, in fact, I found that she was like a sponge. I just couldn't teach her enough fast enough, and it was very rewarding. It was inspiring to see how intelligent she was and how interested. You know, cooperative is really not the word, because this was just a big game for her, and, you know, the more she wanted to learn, the more I would teach her. And so when I purchased Tara, what I did immediately was book both of us in an amusement park up in Northern California at Marriott's Great America. And that is where we started working. It was actually a circus stage, and they hired several youth acts to come in and do circus, and Tara and I were the elephant act. And it was a great opportunity for us to bond further, for us to establish our relationship and get comfortable with the lifestyle that then became ours for the next 15 years, because after Marriott's Great America, we actually traveled throughout the U.S. and abroad performing in circuses. And so the two of us were a team. We were a pair. I was an independent contractor. When a circus would hire us, it would be myself and Tara, our dogs. And for a while there, we had a goat with us and, you know, our family and a cat. And we traveled around the countryside performing in circuses for about 15 years. Now, one of the most... I think important things that when I look back and I see is that Tara and I had a relationship, and I really did see myself as her protector and provider, and I took that role very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And as Tara grew, she demanded change in her life. It was very obvious that you went from an infant to, you know, the terrible twos, and then into a pre-teenager. And during those times, there were major changes in her. And I was young myself, so it wasn't as if I had experience raising children.
Sure.
And I just didn't have any background. But I did notice, man, this little girl's changing continually. Just when I think I get a handle on it and understand what's going on with her, boom, you know, she's got a whole bunch of different stuff going on.
Wow.
And so through the process of her growing and changing, I found that I was continually changing our direction, changing our focus, and deciding, you know, that we'll let go of this particular thing. We'll let go of traveling. We'll just stay home and do weekend dates, or we'll let go of the actual performing and just do elephant rides, anything to try and meet what appeared to be her need.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, when she became a teenager, it hit me like a ton of bricks in the head that what she needs is to be an elephant.
Mm-hmm.
And none of this other stuff is going to work on a permanent basis. It's just a temporary bandage. What she needs is to live in an environment that addresses her natural needs. She needs to be with other elephants. She needs to have room to roam 24 hours a day instead of 10 hours a day. And, you know, she just needs to have the life that nature intended for her to have.
And so it sounds like, Carol, that really it was just then this cumulative sort of product of these experiences, seeing what Tara was doing and the changes she was experiencing, where while you were, you know, doing circus things and other things, you finally said, you know what, this is the exact opposite of the way this elephant, and obviously from there, other elephants should live.
Exactly. It was a learning experience.
Yeah.
And much like many parents say, the first child is the one, you know, that goes through everything because you don't know any better.
Sure.
Oh, yes. Tara paved the way for so many other elephants because now I've learned from her and I don't have to make those same mistakes all over again, and I don't have to have that sort of light bulb go off going, oh, I didn't realize that. She has been very patient in teaching me the things that I need to know about her species so that we can create a space and give them a space that really is a healthy environment for them. So I'm very thankful to her for many, many reasons, but, you know, lots of reasons. But the fact that she was patient enough to just, you know, stay with me during this time and just, you know, let me go through that slow process of learning about
mm-hmm.
who she was, who she is, and then how that applies to other elephants as well.
Sure. I want to remind our listeners that this is Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, and we're speaking with Carol Buckley, co-founder and executive director of the Elephant Sanctuary, located in broad strokes, sort of near Nashville. And you can join the conversation by calling us at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, or you can IM us via AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is Talking Animals. So, Carol, first of all, I also want to mention before we go too much further, you have an amazing website. It's www.elephants.com.
Correct, and that's elephantsplural.com.
That's right, that is. And maybe we'll come back to some specifics of that, but we definitely want to mention that a few times along the way here. So from the Tara, you know, training and teaching, as it were, you know, when and how did that start to translate to your starting to ponder this idea for what later became the Elephant Sanctuary?
Well, actually, I believe that the seeds were planted early, early on, because when I first started my relationship with Tara, I made sure that wherever I lived, and I'll tell you, we moved many, many times, I always wanted to live in a rural environment where there was lots of space, woods, some sort of water source like a creek or a stream or a pond. And so I had it brought me much joy
mm-hmm.
to watch her be in the woods, run around in place, swim in the pond. I mean, it was just so joyful to be. And I can remember sitting, on a big rock along the Ventura River as she played in the water, and I thought, if I could do this for a living, if I could just be here and watch her and take care of her, and that's what my job was, that would be heaven. Now, those thoughts came early, early on, and throughout our time together over the years, even when we traveled, I made a point every day of stopping somewhere that I thought might be stimulating for her. And it was either like a big open pasture area or most of the times woods and, mm-hmm. and water. And she would run and play. We would run and play. And, you know, she would be an elephant. So a little bit by little bit, as I got more discontent about what captivity had to offer for elephants,
mm-hmm.
the drive became stronger to create a space for her.
Yeah.
And it was very selfish in the beginning. It was for Tara. Mm-hmm. I was thinking only about Tara. I wasn't thinking about saving all the elephants in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But Tara was my focus. And
sure.
then, of course, I started to... This image began in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to see it. And it started to be this place. And then in this place, there were lots of other elephants. And then I went, oh, yes, duh, of course. Because if she needs this and this and this, she also needs to have other elephants.
Other
and so it
yeah.
just became... a big image. It took about 10 years to actually consciously grow the idea.
Yeah. So the concept was really constantly evolving as you just
yes.
sort of went from, like, what's best for Tara, and then it just broadened out from there
right.
continually, it sounds like. And why Tennessee? I mean, did you just know going in that there was the potential for the 27 acres, the 2,700 acres you now have, or was there other factors as well? Or
no, it was all about trusting. I had by now a list of what the pros and cons, what this place had to have and what it could not have. And I was not even fixed on a location in the U.S. It could be anywhere in the world. I didn't care as long as it met the criteria.
Mm.
And actually, our first choice was a piece of land in Costa Rica. And that almost went through until the last minute. There were two things that didn't work, and one was an insect, actually a fly, bot fly, that actually lays its larva under the skin of cattle, and they have a real problem with it in Costa Rica, and the way that they treat it is by pouring full-strength weed killer on it.
Oh, my God.
Pesticide. And so when I researched that problem, which would have been a problem for elephants, I realized that that was a sign that, you know, this is not the place to go. And so we sort of, you know, changed direction and looked back in the United States and said, you know, the other problem with Costa Rica was we would be limited on how many elephants we could rescue.
Sure.
Because we couldn't bring them across the border from the U.S. and other places. So we put our focus back on the U.S. And we actually were led to this location, this exact location, when we finally, and let me back up a bit, although this dream was brewing for 10 years and I, you know, knew that I wanted to do it, and Tara was the inspiration, there needed to be a catalyst for actually doing it. And that was Tyke the elephant. Tyke the elephant was the African elephant that was owned by Hawthorne Corporation that was performing in Hawaii, broke free, injured her groom and killed her trainer and then broke loose on the streets of Honolulu and was shot down, shot dead.
Yeah.
That was 10 years ago this year. And it was that incident and me knowing that elephant, knowing her fairly personally, that was the catalyst for me to say, now, we do it now. And so at that point, I was north of Nashville, had been here for a few months, and started looking in the southern part of the state. And when I went to a realtor in this area in Lewis County, I said, this is what I'm looking for. I didn't waste any time. I didn't try and hide the fact that we were going to have elephants. I laid it all out on the desk, and I said, this is what we're doing. This is what I need. I need this lay of the land. I need the vegetation. I need this and this and this and this. And these are the things I don't want. I laid it all out for him, and he said, come with me. I'm going to show you the place that's going to be the elephant sanctuary.
Wow.
And this man who had sold property in this county his whole life, knew every piece of land, he drove me to this piece of land. And when we arrived and I got out of the car, all I could do was cry, because this was the image that was in my mind.
Wow, talk about a shared vision. I mean,
yeah,
it was amazing. Carol, looks
so
like we
were led here.
Okay, cool. Now, running a little short on time, we got a bit of a late start, but we do have a caller. Would you like to take a caller?
Sure.
Okay, great. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI. It's Talking Animals with Carol Buckley from the Elephant Sanctuary.
Hi, my name is Carrie, and I just want to think that this is such amazing work that you do, and we're so lucky that we have you on the planet to look after the elephants. Do you have a staff?
Yes, we do, and actually it's a growing staff. We have 17 people that work here at the sanctuary, and that's probably doubled from last year.
Wow.
We've seen such a spurt, not only in what we're doing, but, of course, in the elephants that are arriving. And we have, of course, several keepers. We have keepers that care for Asian elephants. We also have our keepers that care for the African elephants that live in a separate area. And then, of course, we have office staff.
Well, that's so cool. And, like, do you have, like, a training program for your staff that they go through, or these people that come to you that are already experience with animals?
No,
elephants.
Actually, we don't hire. We usually don't hire people with elephant experience because we want to train them our way.
Oh, that's so cool.
But we do have an internship program, and we hire out of our internship program. If you're interested, you can visit our website. That's www.elephants.com, and then go to the content page, and there'll be listings, and you'll see volunteer opportunities and internship. Click on that and read it, and it'll tell you what you need to do.
Great. Thank you so much, and again, thanks for all the great work you're doing.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling. So Carol, how many elephants total now live at the sanctuary, and maybe divide them between the Asian and Africans?
We have 7 Asian elephants,
mm-hmm,
and 3 African elephants. And our African elephants are brand new. We just, when we expanded into 2,700 acres, we were able to carve out an area habitat for the African elephants. So currently they have 300 acres. It's completely fenced in a brand new barn. And the 3 of them have come from 2 different locations. 2 of the elephants, Tanji and Zula, came from a zoo in Georgia where they had lived their entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And then Flora was a circus elephant. She was actually the namesake for Circus Flora. And she had been performing up to just a few years before, where she had actually been staying at the Miami Zoo before she came to us. So we're very pleased to have them.
Wow. And how many of those 2,700 acres are currently being used by each of the, you know, the Asian group and the African group?
Well, right now the 2,700 acres is being fenced off, the entire thing, for use by the elephants.
Oh, wow.
And that fencing project, which is a 20-mile fencing project, is supposed to be complete by the end of the year. This has been going on for 2 years, fencing
yeah.
this off. And so once that's completed, the elephants will share the land, and so they'll both species will have about a little over 1,000 acres each.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it'll be wonderful.
Oh, my God.
And that property, the Asian habitat, includes a 25-acre spring-fed lake.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, the place is so amazing. And another thing, I want to just keep reminding people about the website. Again, it's www.elephantsplural.com.
Right.
And among the many, many great features of it is the camera, the elephant
our,
cam.
Our Ellie cam.
Ellie
our Ellie cam,
cam yeah.
is the most amazing educational opportunity. It is, again, it's an elephant camera. It's cameras that are in our habitat and in the barns, and it's the live bird's eye view that you, as a visitor to our website, can utilize for free. It's 24/7,
yeah.
on all the time. It is streaming video. It's live. It's not a videotape. And our Ellie fans just love this because as a facility that is not open to the public, this is their only way to see elephants. And as you start to become familiar with the website and utilize the Elecam a lot, I've heard a lot of people say the Elecam is better than even being here, because if you were here, you would never get as close to the elephants as you get through the view of the cameras. So, and the thing that I tell people that is so important for us is that the Elecam allows you to watch elephants and their natural behavior, not the behavior that you would see that is as a result of people being there and
sure.
stimulating their behavior. So you're seeing natural elephant behavior.
That's so great. Well, Carol, we're you know, there's so many other things I wanted to get into. Maybe we'll have you on again, but I think we'd be remiss, even if it has to be very brief, to not address the Hawthorne situation. We
oh,
only
please.
Have like probably a minute or less, but I'm just sorry we got a late start.
Sure.
But I hope to
the
have
Hawthorne
you.
Elephants are 16 elephants that have now been relinquished by their owner. They are circus elephants. The USDA brought a suit against the Hawthorne Corporation, and the Hawthorne Corporation administration has given up these elephants. Now we're in a situation of USDA is in a situation of placing them. The placement was supposed to happen by August 15th, which of course that date is passed, and the Hawthorne Corporation is fighting the removal of these elephants. Two of them, Loda and Misty, are TB positive for the human strain of tuberculosis. We are standing ready with our quarantine barn to accept these elephants. USDA has agreed to place them with us. Even the Hawthorne Corporation has signed a contract to give them to us. Just as we were ready to bring them here, the Tennessee State Veterinarian put a stop to it, said that he needed to do a research project to see if there was any risk to wildlife or cattle in our state as a result of these two elephants that have the human strain of tuberculosis. This has been going on for 5 weeks now. We're all very anxious to get some report out of the Department of Agriculture, Tennessee State Veterinarian's office, to see what his concerns are so we can address those concerns and bring these two elephants in as soon as possible. So if any of you are interested, please let your opinions be known to any of your legislators. You can go to our website. Their addresses and phone numbers are listed. Just go to our website and click on LODA, and then from there go to the Hawthorne Elephant Update.
Great, and we really want to urge our listeners to do that, and just anything they could do to support that effort would be fantastic.
Yes.
So, Carol, well, thank you so much for joining us on Talking Animals. And if you, I don't know if you'll have another minute or two just to kind of stay once we finish the interview, but I picked out the final song here of the show. We always have little animal songs. It was especially selected for the Elephant Sanctuary in you. So once we do our quick little Name That Animal Tune feature, that thing will kick in, and you'll know what I mean in a sec if you can hear just a bit longer. So thank you so much for joining us on Talking Animals. We will definitely try to get you on again sometime soon just to get more updates. And there's just so many things that I wanted to ask about the sanctuary and some other things that we'll just save for another time.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thanks. So I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI and Irvine 88.9 FM, streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. It's time to proceed to Name That Animal Tune. Again, this is pretty much like any version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related. So I'll play a snippet of this tune. There'll be a prize. That's right, a prize. For the first caller who correctly identifies the song or the artist, in this case, we'll make it kind of simple. So as soon as you recognize this animal tune, please phone us at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Let's get started. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talk Animals here on KUCI. Can anybody name this animal tune? Well, the title just sort of gave away, I guess. All right. But here's the song that we're closing out the show with. Again, specifically chosen for Carol and the Elephant Sanctuary. If it sounds sort of elephant-related, that's no coincidence. A brand new tune by a band called Antibolus, called Elephant. And it kind of reminded me of elephants, the way they amble and the way they sound. So, and as we're going to hear that in the background as we wrap up the show, I'm Duncan Strauss. We have just about reached the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. I want to again thank our guest Carol Buckley and remind you of the website for the Elephant Sanctuary. It's www.elephantsplural.com. I also want to thank you for listening and for the phone calls we received. Thanks and good luck to our intern, Paul. Thanks again to Erin Aylworth of the LA Times for her nice orange-peeled feature today on Talking Animals. And next Monday is Labor Day, so we'll be out of town. There'll be no Talking Animals. So there will be a special two-hour edition of the Serena Sharp Show. Then we'll return 2 weeks from today when our guest will be Elaine Boozler, the veteran comedian who's also a longtime animal advocate, including operating her own multifaceted nonprofit organization, Tales of Joy. So I hope you join us for that on Talking Animals 2 weeks from today, Monday, September 13th. And by the way, other great public affairs shows on KUCI include just today alone the Serena Sharp Show, which of course precedes Talking Animals. Then at 5 p.m. we offer Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan, followed at 5:30 p.m. by Counterspin. And that's just Monday, folks. There's great public affairs programming and talk shows like this virtually each weekday, 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 in the morning. Then again from 5 to 6 in the afternoon. On the music side of the KUCI schedule, I host a show called The Dead Air Zone. Thursdays normally won't be this Thursday. I'll be out of town, as I say. But it's truly eclectic, from Afrobeat to Zydeco. That's A to Z, pal. So when you have a chance to check that out, I also want to urge you to check out our website. It's talkinganimals.net. When you get there, please sign up for our email list so we can alert you to guest bookings and other events and announcements. Also, I encourage you to email me with comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news, stories, and anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals.net. AOL.com. I really look forward to hearing from you. Really, I do. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease. This is a great, great blues show coming up here momentarily on KUCI. This has been Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And as always, of course, we are closing things out here with an animal-related tune and one more. And a nod to Carol Buckley and the Animal Elephant Sanctuary. This is new music by Antti Balas. Song called Elephant. Actually, it's a really long piece, which is why I started a few moments ago. And we'll hear a bit more until Jeff Scott starts this week's outbreak of the blues disease. Meanwhile, we'll catch you back here in 2 weeks on Talk Animal. We'll be right back.